Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning to you, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. On this Wednesday morning, well, this is a big show. Rob Thompson later on today. Ross Tucker. I mean, this is also one of those, like, what's he going to say days as it relates to A.J. Brown. I will tell you, in the history of our show, going back to the midday show, of which me, John, and James have been together now for almost 9 years, I think the number one, what's he going to say, show? And he actually said nothing because it got canceled, I think, was Ben Simmons showing up to training camp 1 year. Remember we did a whole show? Ben's talking at 2 o'clock.
Is that when they got kicked out?
That was, yeah.
I think so, Rhea.
He started practicing with his cell phone in his pocket?
Yes. Yeah. And then he chose not to play, yeah. And then he never played for the Sixers again, and they traded him, like, what, 2 months later, James?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Those are
when we missed them so desperately.
I mean, Howie and Nick, what are they going to say after 23? Remember, they waited, the delay. That was a big
awful
one, too.
Yeah.
Remember how bad they looked?
Yes.
Ooh. They looked like they had been like awake for a month
double
straight.
Death.
Yeah.
Yes. Rhea, what will A.J. Brown say today?
I don't think he's going to go the route of you blew it up. You know, it got overblown. Because you can't sell that. It's not sellable because of the words he chose. He could just say, you know, I'm emotional. To me, that's the way you do it. Is just go, listen, I'm an emotional guy. I don't have problems when guys like get emotional during games because I think that gives certain players an edge.
Sure,
it's just
of course.
It's what drives people. And so I think if he just comes out and just says I was really emotional,
yeah,
and I should probably stay away from Twitter, but he's not going to.
Yeah, so I think
he can very easily say, yeah, I was frustrated with myself. I was frustrated with my own performance.
He's not going to say that. I don't think.
He tweeted. He chose this.
Exactly.
Like this, we did not have to be talking about this.
Yeah.
It's because he tweeted. He chose to do it. And
totally.
He has been through this multiple times. He knew exactly what was going to happen.
One thing he's been told repeatedly by his PR department that something needs to be done, right? Yeah, some sort of response and resolution needs to take place here.
You may not want it, though. We don't know what he wants to do.
Yeah, we don't know that, James. We don't know if he wants to be here. We really don't. So, I mean, I think he, in an ideal scenario, wants to be here, but he might be at that point where, like, I can't get to near an ideal scenario.
The only thing where I, because I don't think it's as much about 2023,
yep.
The one place where I'll agree with you, what we kept hearing in 2023 were the problems between Sirianni and Hurts, which they've appeared to have gotten past. There's, with AJ and Jalen, you just wonder.
Oh, listen. It's pretty well understood by people around the team that they do not have a good relationship anymore.
It is
what it is.
Yeah.
And do I think that contributes to this? Probably. I mean, the fact that they were so close and apparently now are so not, that's not good.
It's a problem.
All right, a couple quick things, and then Shil Kapadia joins the show. Turkey Bowl, if you missed it, we made the announcement yesterday of the schools that are finalists for Turkey Bowl this year. Congratulations to Audubon and Haddon Township, one of the featured games as a finalist. Audubon and Haddon Township. Also, too, are Haverford and Upper Darby. And so, too, are Newman Garetti and South Philadelphia High School. So those six schools, those three games.
Awesome.
Yeah, eligible to have, you know, your game, whether it's Thanksgiving Day or the week of Thanksgiving, featured here on WIP. The voting process has begun. It will run through November 7th. So you got about 5 weeks to vote. By the way, welcome to October, which means welcome to playoff baseball. But also here, as it relates to Turkey Bowl, it is the voting phase now at 94WIP.com for you to vote. And congrats to those six schools, and two of them will be featured with the game here on WIP. All right, let's talk to Shil Kapadia. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time, and Shield is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game on Sunday, every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Good morning, Shield.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh,
doing great.
Overloaded with topics, Shield. Holy mackerel. So, Shield, I want to get to the film and what specifically you saw, but let's just start where we just were. You know, you've seen the AJ thing up close, not as a beat reporter anymore, but you're totally in tune with what's going on for 3.5 years now. How with him here, how do you think he will handle it today?
Yeah, I think he will probably say, you know, I think Rhea's on the right track there, that he'll say, I'm emotional, you know, maybe I feel like we have so much potential in this room and I see the talent on this offense and I want us to be better because we have bigger goals than just winning a week four game, and maybe I shouldn't react like that, but it's easy to get frustrated, but I'm looking forward and getting ready for the Broncos. Now, he's a thoughtful guy, and I don't, you know, I know John mentioned the PR thing. I don't think he's someone who is going to be told what to say or how to handle it or anything like that. So I might be wrong about that, but I would imagine he will admit to being frustrated, but also trying to spin it forward here.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
How often has AJ, when you look at the tape, how often has he given up on routes? How badly has he contributed?
Yeah, you know, I never am one who says I can just tell from watching the film that this guy's giving up on routes. I mean, in this game, there were clear frustrations. You know, they call a screen, and he's getting tackled 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage without having a chance, and he's frustrated about that. They're trying double moves in the second half, and Jalen Hurts, who is generally a very accurate downfield thrower and has been his entire career, the ball sailing 3 feet out of bounds. I mean, I think AJ's frustration in this game was not due to lack of targets. The targets that were thrown to him had no chance. I mean, it was either inaccurate passes or it was play calls where the defense had a beat on it and they know exactly what's coming and they're sitting on a little comeback route. And by the time the ball gets there, it's being knocked away and he doesn't have a chance. So he had like no chance, in my opinion, to actually make plays in this football game despite getting 9 targets.
And a big part of that is Jalen's resistance to taking risks, it feels like. Have you seen quarterbacks who actually improve at that, like during a season? Because it does seem like something that we need to address, like his willingness to take a chance.
Yeah, I mean, the things in this game, he was throwing those passes. He was throwing it downfield. There were 2 double moves in the second half, and Jalen Hurts made those passes. They were just bad passes that went out of bounds. Now, to your general point, I would say one of the things that, you know, if we're looking at our strengths and weaknesses as different quarterbacks, yeah, I think Jalen Hurts is more, especially in the middle of the field, not willing to cut those passes loose maybe as much as other quarterbacks. But, you know, part of this to me is, well, how's he being coached? Because he has 1 turnover the entire season, and, you know, that's a reason why they're 4-0. And so if the coaches are telling him, hey, if you're not sure about it and if it looks cloudy and if you think the safety might break on it and you might get intercepted, go ahead, tuck the ball away, run, pick up 6 yards, and we'll move on to the next down. So there's always a balance there between Hurts' personality, how he's being told to play. But I think you are correct. If there's, you know, if there's one thing about Hurts is that, you know, there are throws. And I haven't seen it a lot this year, actually, to be honest. But I think last year when we were talking about it, that was more of an issue.
So, Shield, let's get to a really important AJ question. And this has come up a lot this week. Is he getting open as much as he used to? I mean, I've had a lot of people say no. I've had some people speculate and say he's affected by old injuries. I've had some people say he actually won't be as good anymore because of those old injuries. Is he getting open as much as he used to?
Yeah, he's not, on this film and this season, he is not separating maybe as much as we have seen in previous seasons. Now, I will say there have been, even in previous seasons, he wasn't always someone who was just like an elite route runner who's creating yards of separation. I mean, his strength is his physicality, and he just needs a small little window to get the football. We just saw it, not this last week, but the week before. I mean, he wasn't wide open on those throws 2 weeks ago, and he's getting the football in the second half against the Rams, and he's overpowering defensive backs, and then he's making plays after the catch. So that part of his game is still there, where maybe you need to trust it a little bit more, even if it's not massive separation. You still need to give him a shot there. And listen, part of this is scheming. I would imagine A.J. Brown watches a team like the Los Angeles Rams and what they do with someone like Puka Nacua, for anybody who watched. And he's saying, I can't believe the offense I'm playing in and the opportunities I'm getting versus somebody like that who's playing for Sean McVay. So I think that's a part of it, too. I think all these things are adding up. And listen, you can see on film he is an unhappy and frustrated player. I mean, when he's catching the ball, when he's not catching the ball, when he's gesturing to the sideline, when he's all these things are showing up. It's not just in a post-game tweet. It's not just in a locker room interview. You can see it on film during the 60 minutes the Eagles are playing.
So, Shu, all sorts of good stuff here. Let me throw this one at you as it relates to the potential evolution of the offense. So the kind of stuff the Rams run, do you think Hurts would be effective in that type of offense if the Eagles ran those type of plays? I have a theory that a lot of this is an outgrowth of what the Eagles coaches for a couple years have felt Hurts is best at and not best at, and they just go to what he's best at often. Do you think he would be effective if they evolve it to the type of plays that would suit AJ?
Yeah, I think there's a balance there. I think you're right about that. I mean, the coach is different. Coordinators they've had, and they have not moved to a lot of that stuff. And, you know, to be more specific, some of it is just, hey, can you mix in some under-center play action and get A.J. Brown, you know, running a deep crosser down the field? Those types of plays where it's not just static, it's not with his momentum coming back to the line of scrimmage, and it's not just a go ball down the sideline, a little bit more variety to free him up. So, yeah, and you know what? Jalen Hurts' preference might be, hey, I don't want to run those types of plays. There are quarterbacks in the NFL like Joe Burrow. They don't like running that kind of offense where they're turning their back to the line of scrimmage and running play action. So, yeah, I don't have an answer for you for why it looks the way it does. I think we've had this conversation now for multiple years. Is it the coaching? Is it Jalen Hurts' preferences? Should we even be complaining at all? Because the team never loses. So all
that's
those
the thing. It feels you feel guilty. I feel guilty bringing it up, but it's so feast or famine. Why is it so feast or famine this offense this year? I look around and you know, even like substandard offenses, they're throwing for 250 yards, and it's just. Normal, commonplace, but it feels like we, with all this talent, it should be like breathing. But it's not. Why is it always such spikes?
And in this last game, I mean, it was pretty clear where in the first half the Bucs came out with a plan that, hey, we're going to blitz Jalen Hurts, and that's what the Eagles were expecting. I thought it was one of the best halves Jalen Hurts has played. I mean, he was on fire. He was decisive. The ball was coming out. It was pretty much the ideal version of a Jalen Hurts-led offense. And then in the second half, the Bucs say,
didn't
we're
they
not
just
doing
blitz
that
once?
Anymore.
I mean, they blitzed like one time.
And they played zone coverage.
Yeah.
And the Eagles couldn't complete a pass. And so it's like, where, the other team is going to adjust. So you did a great job game planning during the week, but the other team's going to.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Adjust, and when they adjust, what are your answers? And they literally didn't complete a pass.
Could you say, Shiel, that the other team did a better job of adjusting in this game against the Buccaneers?
Oh, that was obvious. Yeah. I mean, their defense against the Eagles offense. When you go 0-for-8 on 11 dropbacks in the second half and they changed what they were doing and you can't even figure out a way to get, you know, a first down on a possession, I thought that was pretty obvious in this game. That might have been one of my biggest concerns from the game, is that they did something different defensively in the second half and you had no answers. You didn't know how to adjust to that.
So now it feels like, despite the win, we have been outcoached by that Tampa team, what, now 5 out of 6 times?
Well, the Eagles could respond. We got them in the first half. And yeah. Go check the scoreboard. We won. So yeah,
that's true.
I can't
You're
say
right.
It for the whole
You're
game.
Absolutely yeah. right. You're absolutely right. The Eagles won the game, and that is the bottom line.
And Shill, their ability to win ugly is honestly unlike anything I've ever seen in sports. I've never. By the way, Shill, I don't know if you know this. This to me is alarming because we started the show on a 23-24 comparison of this year. Do you know, Shield, that the Eagles have been outgained in all 4 games again this year?
Yeah.
As they frequently were in 23 before they collapsed?
I did not know that. And the 2 comparisons I've heard the most are last year's Eagles, but the other one that I think might be more apt is last year's Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, do you remember that? They were winning a lot of close. Now, they went 15-2 and went to the Super Bowl. So I think Eagles fans would sign up for that. But, you know, there was this sense around them that, is this real? They're winning a lot of close games. It doesn't feel right. And you kept saying, well, look at the record. They're atop the standings. You know, if you look at every team that's gone 4-0 since 2000, no team has had a worse point differential through 4 games than the Eagles. And last year's Chiefs had the same point differential. So they both won those 4 games by 20 points. Now, listen, they have won 4 games. It's early. Last year at this time, we didn't know what we had with this football team. So there's a lot of time to evolve here. But we just go based off of what we've seen through the first month.
Shill, we have a problem with the Saquon pass protection. Is this something that a different back might have a better chance? Or is our defenses just really doing a great job of scheming up our backs and isolating the backs, making it tough on them? What can we do to be better at picking up blitzes?
Yeah, it's weird because I don't think it's been an issue for Saquon Barkley throughout the course of his career, but you're right. It's popped up pretty much every week this season where there have been reps during the game where you say, oh, that's on the back there. And it's not always a blitz. Sometimes it's a blitz. Sometimes it's one of these where they just rush 4, but you don't know which 4 are coming. You know, Todd Bowles was doing that in the second half.
That's the second half. That's what gives this offense so much trouble. The simulated pressure thing.
Correct.
Where you got, like, people milling around the line of scrimmage. You're not sure which 4 it's going to be, but then it's just 4. And the other, you know, 2 or 3 drop out. That got us 2 years ago at the start of the season, and here it is again, rearing its ugly head. So what was good for dealing with that, Shield? The RPO stuff?
You know, it's just, I feel like whenever there's confusion and the defense is playing zone coverage behind it, that's what's given Hurts and really the whole offense a lot of issues. You know, I don't think the book on him anymore is, hey, send these big blitzes. I think it's, hey, let's send those simulated pressures. We'll rush it, you know, we'll rush our slot corner. We're going to drop our edge rusher into coverage, make him hold on to the football. That has given them a lot of issues. And so everybody needs to be on the same page there with their blocking assignments. You want to try to avoid a free rusher because you've still got 5 or 6 guys to block 4. You should be able to block it up, but they haven't been as buttoned up with that this year.
Shill, good work. I mean, great work, as always, my man. Look forward to talking to next week. And by the way, hopefully for the next month about the Phils. We know no one gets more fired up for the Phils than you do, and I hope it's a long journey into November with a parade the first week of November. Thanks, Shiel.
That's right. Go Phil. See you guys next week.
You got it, buddy. Shiel. Speaking of the Phils, we got a Twitter poll question of the day related to the Phils. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you check out Armin Certified One Owner, pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question. So, you know, I think we feel pretty confident Trey Turner's going to lead off. Bader won't. So the question is this. With Bader now not leading off, who should back cleanup? I mean, you know they're going to have Schwarber 2 and they're going to have Bryce 3. I mean, I think. I mean, they could go with Schwarber 4, but I don't think they will. Who should back cleanup? Seltzer, should we have Schwarber in this poll for cleanup?
No.
Four, three choices for who should bat cleanup. Bader, Boehm, JT. Bader, Boehm, JT. Who, in your opinion, should bat cleanup for the Phils? You can get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter, and certainly you can wait on the phone lines as well.
Well, where are you putting Bader otherwise?
Two. Excuse me.
Five or six, probably.
Well, no, I was going to advocate two or three if you had Harper two and Schwarber four.
They're not doing that.
They're not going to do
that. It's just not happening.
No way.
Schwarber's batting second.
Yeah.
Well, Schwarber had a lot of time this year batting four.
Yeah, but he hasn't in a while.
I know, but Bader's here now.
I don't think it's going to happen. Okay. I feel pretty confident.
Right. So Bader's dropping to six.
He's dropping a 4, 5, or 6. Hmm. I think he's not dropping below 5. I think he's 4 or 5. But we ask you, who should bat 4, which has been a heck of a problem for the Phillies when they go south in the postseason. Boehm 23, whoever the heck had a crack at it last year, they go south at 4. Teams pitch around Bryce. He gets walked a million times. Four-hole hitter comes up and clunks it out. It's been a problem. Who should bat cleanup? We'll talk to Rob Thompson about that next hour. When I say next hour, I mean 8 o'clock. Phone calls and all this, 215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, Jen Ritchie. It is, of course, as always, 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about PI Dental Center, how they've helped me through the years, and how they can help you as well with their decades of experience in complex dental treatment. They are, in a word, phenomenal. But I could give you another word, sensational, incredible, tremendous, whatever word you want to pick on that type of thing. They're phenomenal at what they do. They're awesome. And they specialize in the restoration and replacement of teeth. I mean, they are great for the year-to-year maintenance thing. That's what I've had, and that's how they help so many people. But they also help so many other people with big-time improvements of a major problem with your teeth. So if you're struggling, get yourself to Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough. They're both board-certified prosthodontists. They're awesome at what they do and available for you. They're located in Fort Washington. Make sure you start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. As always, visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.